I feel better. Amen. I thought several times that perhaps I needed to change my message this week, that I just needed to seek something else, but God never led me to anything else. So, folks, I'm going to share with you what God laid on my heart, and that is that we are to be a people that are bearing godly fruit. Amen? Amen. Last week we discussed the Bema, that judgment of Christ Jesus at the Bema, the secondary judgment, if you will, where all believers come together and stand before Him and we receive our rewards from what we've done in this body. But I thought this week that probably one of the best things that we could do is discuss exactly what those things are. What exactly is a reward? What is exactly is it that you need to do in order to get a reward? Folks, there are a lot of times that people just don't know. And I did not want you to get to heaven and to stand before the Lord and Him to call you up at the Bema, having known Him as Lord and Savior, because, you know, that's something we preach pretty strong here. Amen. But I didn't want you to get before Him and say, well, I thought all I had to do was receive you. Folks, that's all you have to do to get into heaven. But I'm going to tell you, that's not all you have to do to please Him. So here we are. I want to tell you what God's Word tells us and what the Bema judgment will reveal. Because you see, when we get there, we will all truly know without a shadow of a doubt who were false prophets, who were false believers, who were goats in sheep clothing, if you will, or even wolves in sheep's clothing. And I'm going to tell you that God's Word tells us not only is it going to be revealed there and then, but it can actually be revealed now. You can know who belongs to the Lord and who does not. We can know that because of those who are working for the Lord. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 15 through 20. In just a moment, we're going to be reading from John chapter 15. But right now, Matthew chapter 7, I want you to notice this. It says here in Matthew 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." You're going to know them how? By the church they attend, yes or no? By the things they pray out loud? By how much money they have? By which church they belong to? No. It says, you will know them by their what? Fruits. We're going to talk about fruits today. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? What a great question. Obvious, and yet it needs to be asked. Or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree, stop. What's that word there before good? Every. 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 Not some. Not part. But every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Does that seem confusing? Not at all. It makes sense. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the great white throne judgment. We've talked about that already. Therefore, and every time you see a therefore, we should be looking back to see what it's there for. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing. You're going to know them by their fruits. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, right there says it. It says that by our spiritual fruit, we're going to be known. Known to who? Known to the brethren? Known to the world? And we're going to be judged for those things. Before we talk about that, let's stop and pray for discernment and wisdom from God. Amen? Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you would give us wisdom and your spiritual insight. We know that insight to your word does not come from us. It comes from you. So reveal to hearts this morning, Father, your truth, because you are the truth. We ask for understanding. And Father, with that understanding, would you give us the wherewithal, the might, the strength to stand for Christ Jesus and your word. We pray for this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Therefore, by your fruits, you're going to know them. Now, I know that in my walk of life, there's a lot of nuts. But even though we may be, and I count myself among them, folks, I'm going to tell you, we might seem strange to a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you this. Let our strangeness be because we love the Lord so much that we're different. Amen? That we're different. By our fruit, we're going to be known to each other. John chapter 15 tells us that there are four levels of fruit. Four levels of fruit bearing. So I want to just share with you quickly from John chapter 15. Listen and tell me, see if you can pick out the four levels of fruit. Now, right there in number one, under number one, it says, what are the four levels? See if you can pick them out before I get there. Are you ready? John 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, now this is Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. So who's he speaking to here? The lost? The world? No, he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to you and me. And he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He's speaking to his disciples. That's us. He said in verse 4, abide in me. That means live in me, abide, stay. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire. Sound familiar? And they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Folks, that's a lot of scripture reading this morning, but it is all based back around. Did you see what the four levels were? There are four levels of fruit bearing. First of all is what? No fruit. Secondly was fruit. You're bearing fruit. Third is more fruit. And then the last one, the big one is much fruit. According to verse 8, look back at verse 8 in your Bibles if you've got it open. Look at verse 8. According to verse 8, what level brings glory to God? When we bear what? Much fruit. That's what brings glory to God. Let me ask you, are you here? We sang a song earlier about calling attention and bringing glory to ourselves or bringing glory to God the Father. Our song said, Lord, let us bring glory to you and bring more attention to you than we do to ourselves. According to God's word, it is bearing much fruit that brings glory to God. So here's the next question then. What is spiritual fruit? How do we get there? How do we get to that place where we know what we're supposed to be doing in order to give God the glory? What constitutes spiritual fruit? Let's look at very quickly three things. Now, there are a lot of scriptures we could use, but I want to use three very basic scriptures that tell us what spiritual fruit is. First of all, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," you probably know these by heart. What are they? "Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and rioting in the streets." Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that if we get upset about who is or isn't elected, that we can't show our disdain and we can't show our anger? God's Word says you can be angry, but don't sin. In other words, you be angry about righteous things and you leave all the rest of the Lord to take care of. I want to go on there, but that's not what God led me to preach. The fruit of the Spirit. We make this list, and wow, what a great way to start our day to read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Then the Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, it speaks about fruit. So in the first one, the Christian character is what we're looking for. And then the second one under number 3 is Romans 1, 13, and it says this. It tells us that conversions, people come to know Christ, are fruit. By the verse 13, it says, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you," Paul wrote to the church at Rome. And he says, "But I was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles." In other words, he said, "I wish that I could come and be with you," because he said, "I'd like to be leading some of people that you know to the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "I want to have some fruit among you." Let me ask you, anybody got any fruit on you today? Have you led somebody to the Lord recently? Have you shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ that they might come to know Him as Lord and Savior? And then there's one more. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11 tells us that godly conduct is fruit. Listen to Philippians 1, 11. He says, "Be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." The fruits of righteousness. So our conduct, whether it's the things we say or the things we do and some things we don't do, even to our thoughts, are fruit and spiritual fruit. So we've got these four levels. Let's talk about them very quickly. First of all, the first level is the worst condition you can be in. No fruit. Because if there is no fruit, you have to ask, where are my roots? Are they in Christ? Amen? If you have no fruit, the Scripture says the tree is cut down and cast into the fire. I pray that is not you. Here in John 15, he's talking about Christians. He said in verse 2, he said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit." Every branch in me. Those who are claiming to know Christ as Lord and Savior. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about us. We're talking about believers. He's talking about Christians. How do we get from no fruit? We know what he says about that. He said, "You're unproductive. You're doing nothing." We read about the parable of the fig tree just last week. How do we get from no fruit to where we're actually start to produce some fruit? Listen, just as there are barriers that keep some companies from growing, and you have to weed out some of the barriers, you have to overcome the barriers, tear them down, just as there are some things that keep a church from growing, that you have to tear them down and overcome them for the church to begin to grow, there are barriers that keep Christians from growing too. And you may be thinking, you know, I always wanted to, but I haven't gotten there. So when you get to that point and you find that you're looking at yourself and you say, "I just don't have fruit. I don't have enough fruit. I need to be doing something." How do you get to that point where you get past no fruit to some fruit? The Scripture says that God, the vine dresser, does something to you. It says that He takes you and He prunes you. He says all the vine dresser does when he finds us unfruitful is he begins to take some things away from us that distract us from what we're supposed to be doing. Now, he calls this pruning. Now, this phrase can be interpreted when it says that he prunes them. It can be interpreted, he cuts away, he moves away, he lifts up. Let me explain this to you. You see, if you were a grape grower, you were a vine dresser, if you would, and you went out to the field and you saw a vine, a portion of the vine that was dying, that was not producing fruit, first you'd look at it to see if it was diseased. Secondly, you'd look around and see if there's anything obvious. And what they do, because it is planted in the ground and the leaves and the branches get so heavy that they fall down to the dirt, when it rains, they'll get covered in mud and dirt and it'll be plastered down to the ground. So the vine dresser will take that vine and he'll lift it up out of the dirt and he'll shake the dirt loose, and then he will actually wash the vine so that the vine will be not stuck in the dirt and dying anymore, and it'll get the sunshine, and with the freedom that it got from the mud and the dirt and with the sunshine, it'll hopefully start to produce. That's you. And that's me. You see, the gardener cleans it and lifts it up to the sun. And that's what God the Father does to us. He lifts us up out of the muck and the mire of our life, and he cleans off the mud, the dirt of sin, and it lets the light of Christ Jesus shine into our life so that we might begin to grow again. Amen. So the remedy for a Christian with no fruit to get to some fruit, first and foremost, is to get the sin out of your life. And let the light of Christ shine in you. Get in the Word of God. Get cleansed by the Father. Get closer to the light. And if there still is not fruit, you better question your roots, because I'm going to say that you're probably not in Christ. So how do you get then, once you get to the fruit, how do you get from fruit to more fruit? Let's go back and read that passage again. Let me read it to you from John chapter 15, verse 2. He said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit," so we're at the point of bearing fruit, "he prunes that it might bear more fruit." He prunes it. It says that to bear more fruit, we need to be pruned. Now, what does it mean to be pruned? We already know that in order to start bearing fruit, we need to be cleaned up, right? That means we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive our sins, that we get things right with Him. The second step there to get to more fruit is pruning. What is pruning? Folks, very simply, it's removing the excess so that the sap that comes from the root can actually get to certain areas so that they can produce. You do it with your trees every spring. You cut all those dead limbs off so that it doesn't just have all of these branches, but that it can actually produce what? The flowers, the blooms, and the fruit. Do you understand what God is saying here in His Word? He says He removes the excess from our life. Because you see, our problem a lot of times as a Christian is clutter. Amen? We've got so much going on in our lives and so much in our life that we're having trouble producing fruit because we've got to take care of every branch we've got out there. I'm going to tell you, I have never in my life seen families busier than now. I thought raising my boys that we were busy. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how some of you young families get it done today. Daddy's working. Mama's working. This one has this. That one has that. Everybody has this. Everybody has that. And do you remember when I was a kid, we never played baseball on Sunday. We never played baseball on Wednesday. Do you know why? Because at least half of the folks went to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and they didn't have enough people to play. I'm going to tell you now, they planted on Sunday morning, and there's a reason. If you're a coach, get your heart right. Don't plant baseball on Sunday morning. Amen. Oh, did I just step on a toe? I don't know who's a coach. I really don't. So don't think I got you. If the Lord got you, so be it. Oh, just wait. I ain't about through. It is amazing the things that take over our life. And I'm going to tell you that if you are not producing where you need to be producing, God will begin to prune your life. And you say, oh, well, you know, I'm glad I'm not a coach. Does the lake house keep you from the Lord? Does the boat, the motorcycle, the club? It doesn't matter what it is. If it's keeping you from the Lord and it's filling your life with so much stuff and you're having to take care of so many limbs that are all over the place in your life where you cannot concentrate on producing fruit for the Lord, God said that if you belong to Him, sooner or later, you're going to have to be pruned. There are some ways to prune. Pastor told me about a man who came to him and said, Pastor, I just got to tell you, I just can't afford to tithe anymore. I'm making so much money that I just can't tithe. And he said, well, you've been a tither, he said, as long as I've known you. He said, remember when you started your business, you had nearly nothing. And then when you had nearly nothing, you tithed and God began to bless. He blessed what you had. He blessed what you did. He blessed what you kept. And the 90%, remember you told me that the 90% you kept went further than the 100% because God was blessing. He goes, I remember. But he said, you know, he said, now I make millions of dollars. And he says, I cannot afford to give that much to the church. He said, what do I need to do? He said, you know, I've got the answer. He said, let me pray with you. So they bowed together. That man, that pastor put his hand on the fellow's shoulder. And he said, God, my brother's in a quandary. And he prayed sincerely. He said, Lord, my brother's in hurt. My brother's in need. Father, he can't afford to tithe anymore. Would you reduce his salary back down so that he can afford to tithe? He said, wait. Don't you think that God can't do that? If the problem is too much in your life, God can remove it. Or you can give it to the Lord and let God bless it. I'm going to tell you, God can do that. There's not a sin in having stuff. Look at me. There is not a sin in having stuff. There's not a sin in having a great, good, or big salary. Nor is there in having a small or a little bit of stuff. But the thing is, if we are not using it to God's glory, God's going to prune it from us. If you belong to Him, you will. Scripture says, every branch is pruned. Do you know that Scripture says if you will judge yourself, you will not have to be judged. But if a man will not judge himself, the Lord will have to judge for you. So here's the deal. You can help prune yourself, or God will prune for you. We just need to learn because we are so busy, are we not? We are so busy that we take on so much stuff that we don't do anything well anymore. We need to learn to do a fewer things and to do each of them with quality and to the glory of God. That's better than doing a lot of things in mediocrity. Amen? I think that God would have us to be very careful to not become so busy that we can't for the Lord. Write this scripture down. If you've got your pencils, write down Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and read that as some addendum to this message today, okay? We're going to move on from fruit to more fruit to much fruit, but read Hebrews chapter 12 sometime soon. It talks about pruning and discipline. I think they're the same thing in many ways. Then the next phase, the scripture says, is more fruit to much fruit. We move from more fruit to much fruit. Listen, 11 times in John chapter 15, in just those first 10 verses, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, 11 times Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, uses the words, remain in me. Maybe your Bible says, abide in me. He says, abide in me or remain in me. Now that word from the Greek, that word remain is meno. Now, that word meno also translate from not only remain, but to abide or to dwell in or to continue in. Does that make sense? So it is a long-term process of living in. Also, John used that word in John chapter 14, verse 2, which is one of my favorite passages, where he says, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. A meno, a house, a dwelling place, a place where you and I can be together. So a dwelling place, a mansion is what he's saying there. Jesus is saying, make me your dwelling place. Make me your permanent abide, abode, stay, live, dwell, stay with me. So folks, the understanding is this, the only way that we can move from more fruit to much fruit is by abiding, by remaining in Jesus. That's the only way. You can't get more fruit being by yourself and by being so busy in the world. John chapter 15, verse 5. Many of you know this one by heart from experiencing God. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, if you know it, say it with me. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. You know this part. For without me, you can do nothing. Wow. So one barrier to moving to more to much fruit is not abiding in Christ. There's another barrier to much fruit, and that's satisfaction with where you're at. Being satisfied with fruit, or being satisfied with more fruit. To produce much fruit, we've got to stop being content with where we're at. And we've got to want more in Christ. And when we abide in Him, when we stay in Him, that's when we have the desire for more. We have to stop being content with where we are and just going to hear the preacher preach, just going to Bible study and doing a little here and a little there. We have to seek Christ desperately. And that's where we struggle. To seek Christ desperately and to abide in Him and to stay in Him so fully and totally, and then He in us. Those are the levels. And I want to close up with this. How is spiritual fruit accomplished? We know what spiritual fruit is. It's the good things. It's the good thoughts even. It's the good worship. It's the good attitudes. It's the character. It's the things we do and the things we refrain from doing. It is the heart and the heartbeat of Christ. But how do we accomplish it? How do you get it done? You're saying, Pastor, I've wanted to do that forever, but I'm struggling with this. Let me tell you, you cannot do it any better than Jesus Christ did. Do you agree? I got two on this side. Anybody over here? You cannot do it better than Jesus did. Amen? You cannot. So I want to read to you from John chapter 14 again, verses 10 through 15. Listen to what it says. You can't do it better than Jesus. Listen to how Jesus did it, okay? The Son of God used a plan. The Son of God used a way. Listen to it. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Amen? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. This is Jesus Christ. The Son of God didn't speak on His own authority. He said, no. I do not speak to you on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Who does the work? God the Father who dwells in Him. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or believe me for the sake of the works themselves. He said, look at what I do. In other words, they should judge Jesus by His fruit. He said, look at what I do. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, listen to this. He who believes in me, is there anybody here who believes in Christ? Anybody here believes Jesus is Lord and Savior? You believe He's God's Son. Believe He died on the cross. Believe that He rose from the dead. Believe that He's gone to prepare a place for you. Believe He's coming back. If that's you, listen. It's speaking to you. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Wait a minute, stop. Jesus said the works that he did, we can do? Nah, surely. No, yeah. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe Christ Jesus? He says, the works that I do, you will also do. And listen to this, greater works will you do. Woo! Greater works than Jesus? Why? He tells us why. Greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Wow. Time and again, he says, abide in me. Abide in me. Why do we need to abide in Jesus Christ in order to do much fruit? Because we can't do it at all. You cannot produce spiritual fruit. Hang on, let me just prove it to you. On three, I want you to produce some fruit. Ready? One, two, three. We cannot produce fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine. What are we? We're the stick. He said, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So in other words, Jesus is the vine that grows the fruit. What are we? All we have to do is be an obedient stick. Anybody ever say, you're dumb as a stick, boy? I'm afraid they have to me. Listen, if you will but remain in Christ and let Him grow on you, let Him grow in you, He will begin to produce fruit in your life that you can't do it. You cannot produce anything spiritual on your own. You can work. You can do, but nothing of spiritual value comes from it unless it is in Christ Jesus. That's what he means when he says, all of your wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burnt up. But the things that are done for Christ and in Christ will remain. John chapter 14 tells us that Jesus did everything through God. God's Son did nothing of His own authority. He rested and He depended on the Holy Spirit for His leadership, for God the Father for His leadership and for His strength. We all have to know Christ. And we have to have Christ to show us how to produce. Because only God can produce spiritual fruit. That's why we must live in Him. Walk in Him. Abide in Him. Now you listen to me and tell me if this is not the truth. That's one of the greatest frustrations of being a Christian. To attempt spiritual success on our own and to fail time and again. Amen? You ever tried to do it right? You ever tried to do it? You ever try to produce? You ever try to go? Listen, that is what makes it so frustrating. Paul knew this, and he wrote to the Romans, and he said, look, he said, it's not up to you. You've got to lean on Christ Jesus. Listen to Romans chapter 7, verse 19. He said, whenever I get out there and I try to do good, I try to be right, I try to be godly, I try to be holy. He says, I fall flat on my face. He said, I blow it every time. He said, for that good that I want to do, I do not do. But the evil that I would not do, that's what I do. He said, what's wrong with me? It's because he did it in himself. Paul knew what it was like, and he said it is frustrating. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:13 that he had learned to lean on Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the difference. Not that we try to do it on our own. And if you are frustrated, join the crowd. But watch to see when you will just abide in Christ. Live with Him. Let Him clean your life up. Repent and turn back to Him. Let Him clean you up. Get in His Word. Stay in His Word. Let Him walk with you, talk with you, and watch to see what God will do around you and through you. Paul learned that he had to lean on Christ, and we've got to learn that as well. It is no wonder that doing it on our own is so frustrating. Amen? Jesus said that without Him, you can do nothing. No wonder we're having trouble. So the key to allowing the Holy Spirit to do anything in you is to walk with Him, talk with Him, abide. It means live. It means to dwell with Him. So let me just cover this real quick. First of all, when there is no fruit in your life, there's a barrier. What is the barrier? Sin. If you truly belong to Christ, if you truly have given your heart and life to the Lord and there is no fruit in your life, the barrier is sin. You need to let the vine dresser wash you, cleanse you. You need to let the vine dresser come to you and to shine His light on you, and you need to begin to live with Him. Repent and be cleansed. To get to the next phase, to more fruit, you need pruning. You can do it yourself, or you can let the Lord do it. Sooner or later, the Lord's going to say, look, I think I know how to do this better than you. And He's beginning to remove some things that are in the way so that the energy of your life that He's giving you can be concentrated not on the limbs and the luxurious leaves that are out there that produce nothing except for people to look at and go, oh, what a pretty tree. But to produce the spiritual fruit in your life that some of them may never see, but God will. And I'm going to tell you, you keep producing spiritual fruit, people will see it. Amen? To get to more fruit, we need pruning. And the barrier is all the worldly stuff that gets in our way. And the remedy for that is to reduce the clutter. And then to get to much fruit, one of the biggest barriers is being satisfied with where we are. Selfishness. Lord, I'm happy right where I am. I don't want You moving me. I don't want You changing me. I don't want You using me anymore. I give You Sunday, or I give You this day, but Lord, the rest is mine. The remedy for that, dear friends, is to abide in Christ, to stay in Him. Where are you in this process? Where are you? If I were to give you a blank there, and I probably should have done that on your in your outline, where would you say you were? No fruit? Some fruit? More fruit? According to the Scripture, what's your next step? What is your next step? In your own heart and mind right now, I don't want you to tell me. I want you to tell the Lord. Lord, I'm going to be honest. My next step is maybe it's fruit for the very first time. Maybe it's more fruit. Maybe it's much fruit. Wherever you are, what's your next step? Is it to repent so that you can be used of God? Is it to prune, get rid of the clutter, the stuff? Or is it to abide with Him more and more? You know, because God's Holy Spirit is telling you right now. You know what's cool? God is practical. God can perform a miracle in your life, no doubt. Amen? Listen, I have experienced them. In my family's life, in my own life, I've seen it in the lives of others where God has just done miraculous things to turn things around and change things. But here's the wonderful thing about our Lord and our loving Father. He does not expect you to jump processes. He knows that if you're at no fruit, that you're not all of a sudden going to become a, you know, supposed to be a much fruit person tomorrow. It's a growth process, remember? Just like the vines, they have to grow. Dear friends, if you're at no fruit, you don't have to go, oh, I'll never get to much fruit. Look, just worry about fruit, amen? And if you're at fruit, and you're going, oh, I'll never get to much fruit, don't worry about that. Just get to more fruit. Don't worry about the much until you get there. And when you get there, I'm going to tell you, God is not going to let you be complacent. He's going to keep pushing you. He's going to keep pruning you to make you to glorify Him, if you'll let Him. Friends, would you bow your head and close your eyes right now? Would you pray with me? Pray with me right now. Would you pray this prayer? Are you ready? God, help me to get to the next level. Would you pray that prayer? Sincerely pray and say, God, would you help me to get to the next level? And now, if you did pray that prayer, I want you to know this. God is expecting to use you this week to glorify His kingdom. He will glorify His kingdom in the way that you react to an election. He will glorify His kingdom in the way that you react to your spouse. He will glorify His kingdom in the way that you react to your children. He will glorify His kingdom by the way that you react to your parents. He will glorify His kingdom by the way that you act at work or at school. God wants to glorify Himself through you.